I really want to finish up with some political thoughts that I gave you on Friday. I want to, and I will, because I must. This is important. I see so many similarities now. I mean, after the show Friday, I realized that there's so much more to tap, and I want to finish that. I'm not gonna make a little career of this, but I am going to point out some facts to you. Number one, let's define our terms. I see so many similarities between big government and big religion. So many similarities. The word big should give you a clue there. I live in the United States of America. In the United States of America, there are generally two political philosophies. Well, three. There's liberalism, conservatism, and then there's your libertarians. Like, they want no government at all. So you got big government, little government, no government, otherwise known as anarchy. But generally speaking, there are two political philosophies. One is people know best what they need. And the human spirit yearns to breathe free. The human spirit longs to have, you know, relative autonomy over itself to make its own decisions. It doesn't want a giant, cold, non-caring entity such as government telling it what to do and regulating it and penalizing it and making itself a redistributor of money. Give us most of your money in taxes and we'll decide who to give it to, because the government, the large government, would say, we have the wisdom to redistribute your money to make everything even. This is detrimental to the human spirit because it doesn't reward hard work. It penalizes hard work and rewards mediocrity. All right. The other philosophy is that would basically be conservatism. Leave me alone. I'm fine. The other philosophy is liberalism. You can call it socialism. Same thing. Collectivism. Communism. It calls for a large central organization that you give power to. You surrender certain degrees of freedom to it. You give it the freedom to take as much of your money as it wants, under the impression, in my opinion, a false impression, that it has the wisdom to distribute your resources as it sees fit, that it has the wisdom to know the right thing to do, and that the people in charge have your best interest in mind instead of their own power. Now, in the thousand-year kingdom, there will be a one-world government, but that will be headed by Jesus Christ. There are a few critical differences I need to point out to you between Jesus Christ and human beings as presently constituted. Human beings as presently constituted love power. And politics is a very slippery slope for many people, because once they get in power, they want to stay in power. And people become they become career politicians. This is a very bad thing. This is why you hear the phrase term limits. It's like you come in, serve the people, and get the hell out. Serve the people for 4 years, get out. Otherwise, if you become a career politician, your number one goal is to stay in business rather than help the people. You get a power trip. Now, I told you on Friday that to me, I thought it was amazing that people who see the dangers of large centralized government, and they realize that small is better, and they realize that the family is the best unit to decide for itself, and on top of that, a country. Oh yes, I didn't mention that the liberal mentality. They like the big government, the ruling body, so much that they think that a global government with humans as presently constituted would be great, as if it would have the best interests in mind of you in your country or me in my country. We elected a guy named Donald Trump who is reviving America, that is nationalism, that we believe that our country is better suited to take care of our people, and that we don't want a global entity like the United Nations to tell us what to do. Puts everybody in the same pot. It's just a giant form of communism. It is communism. We don't like that. So we voted for a guy who's not a politician. Anyway, there are people who see the dangers of big government and career politicians and surrendering your freedoms, trusting the government. And yet, when they get into the religious sphere, when they get into church, they lose their brains, right? And they just say, yes, we want someone over us. Yes, we want someone telling us about God instead of looking into it ourselves. Our leaders tell us that we can believe in free will and in the sovereignty of God at the same time. It's just a mystery. That's what our leaders say, so it's good enough for us. It's the old sheep mentality. Our leaders tell us in church that eternal torment is perfectly consistent with the love of God. You just don't understand the love of God that allows God to look on passively, and in some cases with great delight, at the souls of his creation suffering in hell for eternity. It's just, we can't understand the love of God. And so people swallow this stuff. It's like swallowing an elephant. It's just ridiculous. So why is that? But I noticed there's a converse phenomenon. And that is the phenomenon of people who, it's the opposite thing, right? That's why I called it a converse phenomenon. People who understand that religion is bad, that giant mega churches are bad, that the doctrines are watered down to meet the lowest common denominator, like Joel Osteen's church. You have to meet the lowest common denominator. You don't want to argue about everything because you want everybody happy. And so you play music and you don't talk about teaching too much. Hey, eternal torment, not that big of a deal. Free will, the Trinity, immortality of the soul. They're not interested in teaching. They're just interested in a corporate experience. So there's many people who think that's crap. But then they go over on the other side in the political sphere and they think big government is a good idea. So these people, they believe in like the salvation of all. They believe that I'm not going to go to church again because the Spirit of God makes its home in me. And the Spirit of God is the arbiter in my life, in my heart. And I don't need some pastor or some priest or some bishop or some pope to ruling my spiritual life. Great, good, you're on the right track. But then these same people go into the world and they in the political spectrum and they say, yes, we want a giant government over us. Yes, we want to give up our freedoms. You see, they don't do that in church. They realize that I'm going to study the Bible for myself. I'm going to figure out what's right with the Spirit of God operating in me. And yet they go into the world and say it's a good idea to just lay down, roll over, and give yourself to a cold political entity run by cold political people. That is weird. This is the only thing I can figure out. There's two possibilities here. I think one is that the people believe in the salvation of all. They don't really believe in the fact that this salvation of all comes by the death of Christ on the cross, that it's tough, that it was bought with a high price. They're more like universalists and Unitarians in that they think God's just too good, he's too nice to damn people. So they're kind of like weak-willed, wimpy, jellyfishy type people. The type of people that when you shake their hand, you want to tell them to throw it back in the pond. All right, these people, they roll over and they just, it's fine. So you're not really rooted, grounded, founded on the cross. That could be. The other thing could be is that just the lure of giving your relative autonomy up to a government, as with socialism or liberalism or communism, collectivism, is so powerful. It seems so easy. Remember I told you on Friday, it's the easy path to just like, I want everyone to have good. See, maybe that's the mentality, the salvation of all. I want everybody to be saved and everybody's going to be saved. And then you go over with that same emotional belief in the salvation of all. There's a factual belief. There's a scriptural belief that bases it on the cross. And there's an emotional belief. I just want everybody to be saved and everybody will be saved. And then you go over onto the political side and you say, I just want everybody to be happy. So if the government thinks I should be taxed at an 80% rate, then so be it. If the government thinks that I shouldn't set my thermostat above 67 degrees, then that's what I'll do. It's for the greater good. The greater good, is it? Let me tell you something. In church, them trying to regulate your spiritual life, it's not for your good, it's for their good. Same with government. It's purported to be for your good, but it's for their good, the leader's good, the people who are running the government, it's for their good to stay in power. Here's another great point, if you don't mind me making a great point, I can't seem to help myself, is that the goal of big government and big church, this is the analogy, the goal is to have a perpetual underclass, to have perpetual needy people, people who perpetually look to you to answers because you cannot help yourself. It's the assumption, this is insulting, that you don't know what's best for you, the government knows. You don't know what's best for you, your pastor knows, your priest knows. Just trust your priest and your pastor. So these people, in order to feed their own power, they need you to be relatively helpless. They need you to look to them for help. And so they don't want you to be able to stand on your own two feet. And the Democratic Party, which is the carrier of liberalism in my country, they have put themselves in the unenviable position, in a stupid position where good news for the country is bad news for them. How would you like to be in that position? Good news for the country. Jobs are up. Unemployment's down. The country is safer. People have more disposable income. There's more jobs, better jobs. Yay, that should be great, right? No, the Democrats hate that because people say, hey, you know what? I don't need government assistance anymore. I don't need food stamps anymore. I'm fine. I'm good. And the government should go, yay, good, you don't need us anymore. But they don't say that, obviously. The liberal government doesn't anyway, because again, their interest is not taking care of people. It's holding on to their own power. And so good news for the country is bad news for them. But if you have a politician who is not a career politician, somebody who isn't in love with doing this forever, and they actually want to help the country, then they want you to thrive. They want you to not need them. They will want you to work them out of a job, to prosper you out of a job. Hey, you know what? I don't need you anymore. Great. Thank you very much. Now I'm going to transfer this to the church. You would think that if someone comes up to a pastor or a priest and says, you know what? Oh, the Spirit of God is in me. I'm reading the scriptures on my own. I'm really getting fed, and I'm not going to come here anymore. Oh my God, it's a disaster. They guilt you. How can you not need us? How can you think you can make this on your own? And they scare you. You can't make it out in the world on your own. They scare you. Government does the same thing. You can't make it out there. You're trying to earn your own living. You have to go to work all the time. No, just take it easy. Relax. You're a victim. We'll take care of you. And by that, they keep you voting for them. I got to vote for the person that's giving me everything. Same with religion. I have to keep going to the place that's giving me my spiritual food. But this place, the bigger it is, the more watered down it has to be, the more stupid it becomes, because again, it has to cater to the lowest common denominator. And if you're exceptional, you'll be penalized, whether it's in government or in the church. When I say exceptional, I'm thinking of like Jesus Christ in the land of the Pharisees. He's exceptional because he has the Spirit of God in him. They are just trying to maintain their power, and they're jealous when they see people going after Christ. They hate it. They're jealous. And the Democrats in my country, they're jealous when they see Donald Trump cutting taxes, giving people more money, cutting government regulations, letting people thrive and start businesses. They're jealous. They panic. It's like, there goes our power. So you see, it exposes their soul. They're not interested in people being self-sufficient. They're fearful of losing their power. But if you have a guy in there like Trump, who doesn't give a crap, really, about his own power, you think he needed this job? He was doing fine as a billionaire, but he actually wants to help people. And the reason they hate Trump is because they realize that he's a go-for-broke guy and that he's not a career politician. He could happily go back to his little billionaire lifestyle, but he came in to wreck things. And oh my God, making people think that, you know, you really don't need these career bureaucratic politicians who are only after their own power, because they really don't want to free you, because that would eliminate their job. Me, I'm taking this on part-time to make America great again. Quickly now, before you get pissed off at me, all you anti-Trump people, take that back to the church. It's the same thing. Same thing in religion. They need you to need them. They don't want you to stand on your own with God. And so this explains the Catholic thing with confession. I can confess my sins privately to God, to Jesus Christ, to a friend, you know, but no, the Catholic Church says you have to come to us. We're the priesthood, we're the arbiters, we're the go-betweens, we're your agent. You need us. And so every month you have to remember your sins and go to confession, because it's guilt, guilt, guilt. They live on your guilt. My God, this organization used to sell what they called indulgences back in the Middle Ages. You could actually pay them to break your loved ones out of some invented place called purgatory. It's kind of like a halfway house. People who were sort of good but not really good, they went to purgatory. It's kind of a halfway house, and they're kind of stuck between heaven and hell. You can bust them out of there. Yeah, just give us $100 and you can cut a month off their sentence. You say, well, Martin, at least the Protestant churches aren't that bad. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? They're forcing people to do some Old Testament thing called tithing, to give them money to keep them going, because they have made themselves appear to be indispensable, because they assume that spirituality is some kind of emotional high. It's like a drug, and only they have the drug. Look, you come here, we play the music, we have a very eloquent preacher, he gets you excited, and so you need this. And so they make spirituality into a religion, and they make religion into a drug that makes you feel good about yourself. And again, it's a corporate experience, which is so easy to become a brainwashing experience, a cult experience. The bigger it is, the worse it is. I've always said that when truth builds a basement, it becomes an institution. That's why Israel in the wilderness, they traveled in tents. They could just pull up their little stakes and get the hell out to the next place. They were always on the move. That's good. That's a good thing. As soon as you build a basement, as soon as you have an establishment, it becomes big. You need a board of directors, and it loses the genius of the spirit, the genius of individual innovation, and it becomes a monstrosity. And then you put people in charge of it who become monsters, because they become addicted to the power, and they will do anything at that point, whether it's a politician or a priest or a pastor, will do anything to stay in power. And to stay in power, they need you to need them. So your flourishing spiritually is a threat to them. It's a threat to them. You being independent, you flourishing spiritually, threatens their control. It's the same over here in government. It's the same in the realm of religion. The similarities are mind-boggling and disturbing. This is why I recommend, this is why I always tell you that the Spirit of God makes its home in you. And it's all you need. Paul says you're complete in Christ. Can you believe that? Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, you are complete in Christ. You have everything you need in Christ. This is a fatal blow to religion, which says you can't be complete unless you have a liturgy. You can't be complete unless you have all these people over you. You can't be complete unless you're feeling good about yourself, which we can provide with emotional music and beautiful scenery. No. The political message that you're smart enough to run your own life, that you don't need a government body micromanaging you. This is the message. This is the truth. This is the truth. And the commensurate message, the parallel message in the religious sphere, or should I say the spiritual sphere, is that the Spirit of God makes its home in you and that you are complete in Christ. That is freedom.